No problem.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to let you listen in, okay?
All right.
I'm in a Bible study with my brother Kevin right now.
Oh,
so
really?
How can I help you guys? I'm just, James, by the way. This is my wife, Debbie.
We saw your sign and we were just curious.
You're curious?
Yeah. Your website.
Yeah, we saw your website.
Yeah, yeah. What are you curious about?
I saw you guys were like trying to teach like correct false teachings and stuff.
Yeah, we do. We do three things in our ministry. We preach the biblical gospel, which America's void of. Are you guys all claiming to be believers in Christ?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we preach the biblical gospel that America and in the religious places is pretty void of the biblical gospel. And if you got time, we'll go over that. We make disciples. So we teach people. I'm on the phone with my brother Kevin right now. We
Do
know
saints. We
know saints all over the world. And so, you know, because we have, look at, I'm sitting here with two iPhones. We got internet connection. That's what we use it for. We're not sitting there watching movies. We're using it for the glory of God. So we preach the gospel. We make disciples. And then the third thing, I was forced to do this. I never set out in ministry to do this. I was forced to expose false teaching. Do any of you know why I would have to do this? Well, when I go out and I street preach, I'm a street preacher. That's why we're here in the Delft. So I'm going to be street preaching tomorrow in the Delft.
Okay.
When we go out to do that, who do you think I run into all the time?
Know-it-alls.
Well, I run into Mormons. I run into Catholics. I run into Baptists. I'm giving you the main ones. I run into Jehovah's Witnesses. I run into Baptists, Lutherans, a lot of non-denominationals. They say, oh, no, we're not part of any denomination, but they're really just like all the denominations. So I started like, when I was street witnessing, I'd tell you, this is why the Baptist faith is wrong, and I'd do that. And then next day I'd meet another Baptist guy, and I'd go, this is why the Baptist faith is wrong. And one day I said to my wife, I probably should record this somewhere so that I could point to you and go look at my article on the website. It covers the Baptist faith, and it saved me a lot of time in the streets. And if people are really seekers, they can go to the website, look it up. So the third thing Jesus said, Paul said, is to go out and mark false teachers. And the three things we do, preach the gospel, make disciples, and Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. And that's really where the American church system, name a flavor, and I'll tell you why it's unbiblical. Maybe I don't know of it, but you realize how many denominations there are? Anybody know? So God creates one body in the New Testament in the first century. Do you know how many denominations there are today? Over 40,000. 40,000.
Which one are you?
I'm not any.
None.
Okay. We're not non. We're none. Did Jesus start a denomination?
No.
Like with an organization, with like a president and this guy, and then put a name on it? No. We're part of the body of Christ. The word church in the King James Bible, it's a terrible translation. The Greek word. Any of you guys study the Bible?
Yeah.
You guys all churchgoers?
Yeah.
Sunday churchgoers? Okay. So I have a question. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments and follow me, right? You probably know that in the Bible. So I have a question. If you don't study the Word of God, how can you know how to follow Jesus biblically and please him? If you don't know the manual, which is the Bible, how can that? Do any of you guys have jobs?
Okay, so you're saying.
So wait, do you guys have jobs?
Absolutely.
And you guys have rules on your jobs. Like, let's say you worked at Qdoba. They got a training program, and you got to come in. Your hair is probably got to be cut a certain way. If not, you got to wear a net, got to wash your hands. If you go, I'm really not going to keep those rules. What do you think your manager is going to say to you?
Yeah. See you later.
So on your job, you get thrown out by not keeping the rules. But American churchianity thinks, well, we can just believe in Jesus. He died, and he's covering all our sin. We don't have to follow what God laid down. But that's not true. That's not true. So before you ask your question, can I preach the gospel to you?
Sure.
How do you find eternal life? Here's how you find eternal life. Jesus Christ comes into the world because of man's fallen, sinful nature. We fell in the garden. The whole world is corrupted. Jesus, perfect man, fully God, fully man, comes into the world, and he does three main things for us. He did many things. The Bible says the books couldn't hold everything he did. Three main things he does. He comes in to show us God's kingdom. There's two kingdoms in the world. There's a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of Satan. This is the kingdom of Satan. The Dells is the kingdom of Satan. And the kingdom of God is the trees, the birds, you guys, he created you, husband and wives having babies. That's a good thing. Not man and man and woman getting married. That God didn't create that. So the kingdom of God, he shows us who it is, what it is. And then he came to shed his blood because he was going to be the ultimate Lamb of God, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Would you agree? So we need a covering to enter in to be the perfect, enter in to be united to a perfect God. So, shows us the kingdom, sheds his blood. Guess what's coming for you? All you guys all look like you're under 20. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm an old guy, so it's hard for me to guess age. You guys look like you're really young. Death is coming for you. Did you know that? You know anybody that's died at your age?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, high school football, kids get hit and boom, they die of a heart attack at 20 or 18 or whatever. Death's coming for you. It's your greatest enemy. Satan is really an enemy, but death is the ultimate enemy because Satan can't damn your soul, but death is coming for you because of sin. So Jesus died and rose again to overcome death. All right. So the gospel is by faith. That's belief in him, which is an allegiance to him. By faith, you will put your trust in Christ, who is the only way to the Father. Right? We're not a cult. We teach what the Bible teaches. Then the Bible says this. Do you guys know what Jesus' first ministry words were? Repent! Or you'll perish. By the way, Brother Kevin, I'm standing here with four fine-looking young gentlemen. They came up to talk to me, just so you know.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So Jesus says, repent or you'll perish. What is repentance? Have they taught you in the church systems?
I wouldn't know.
Huh?
It's been a while.
Yeah, when I was doing... catechism?
Yeah. Oh, are you? You guys all Roman Catholic?
No, I'm Lutheran.
Okay, you're Lutheran. Okay, all right. So repentance is this. Ready? Change your mind, then you change your ways. So if you were a smoker, and your buddy said, "Man, that's killing you. You're wasting your money. That stinks. It's smelly," and you go, "You're right. I'm gonna stop smoking." What's one of the first things you'll try to do? Throw your cigarettes away. So your mind affects your actions, doesn't it? If you were addicted to porn and you go, man, this is terrible. This is destroying my life. I need to get rid of my iPhone, get rid of my computer, get some accountability. Your mind follows. Your ways follow your mind, right? So when was the last time you slapped yourself in the face and you didn't even think about it? Unless you have some rare neurological disease, it don't happen.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So by faith and repentance, willing to come out of sin, change your mind, change your ways. And the three main sins you've got to deal with as young men in America is your flesh. Your flesh wants you to sin, doesn't it? Look at girls, drink, smoke, be prideful, be angry, all this stuff. We all have the same flesh. You got to come out of your flesh. You got to come out of the culture that I'm telling you about. The Dells is going to show you all kinds of garbage that's not of God's world. It's going to titillate you, please, all that stuff. Look at this stuff. Look at this. Woo, music, food, all this stuff filling your flesh. And then the church system, which we'll deal with if you want to stick around. The church system is designed by Satan. It's not teaching the truth. So you must repent. Let me finish the gospel. Faith, repentance. When you repent and you go, Lord, I had to do this. I was a worldly, drunken, partying, fighting man. I had to repent of all that. My wife was just as bad as me, she'll tell you. We did it together. We had to repent of that. And when we did that, you know what God did? He's amazing. He gave us a new heart and a new mind. You know what? I don't even like sin anymore. And I can sin. I could sin if I want. But I don't even like it anymore. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit's ruined it for me, which is awesome. Because he's taught me a better way. My mind and my heart has changed. I used to live for sin. Now I go, whoa. Can't believe I used to do that stuff, talk that way, want that stuff. And so you're born again. Faith, repentance, you're born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. It's not church attendance. It's not water baptism. It's a spiritual new birth. The fruit that you're born again, Jesus said your life is a tree. Let me ask you a question. Do apple trees produce oranges? Not last time you checked, right? So if you're a godly person, what kind of life are you going to have? A worldly, carnal, compromised, sinful life or a godly life, right? If the Holy Spirit's in you, is he a worldly spirit? Is he a lying spirit? Is he a compromised spirit? Is he a carnal spirit? He's the Holy Spirit. So if the Father gives you the Holy Spirit and you're a tree, what is your life going to begin to show if you truly are born of God? You're going to get rid of your sin.
Apples.
No oranges.
No, you're going to get rid of your sin. You're going to have fruit of God. So by faith, you repent. You'll be born again. Holiness and obedience is the fruit. Church attendance won't save you. Water baptism won't save you. Even though I teach you should be water baptized as out of obedience. Holiness and obedience is the fruit that you love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you live like the world, you don't love God. James 4:4 says, to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. That means a hated one. So if you love the things of the world, football, fishing like idolatry. Nothing wrong with catching a fish to eat, but you know, I love to fish for idolatry. I love to hunt for idolatry. I love race cars. I love motorcycles. I love horse-dressed women. Anything that's outside of God's order. You're a friend of the world. You're an enemy of God. You have to repent and leave that to come out. That's the fruit you're born again, holiness and obedience. The last part of the gospel, you do not get eternal life guaranteed to you today. You know what you have the hope of? eternal life, the hope of it. Today, if you've repented of all your sin and you die today, you have the hope of eternal life. Guess what you have to do tomorrow?
Repent.
Same thing. So I'm married. I got a pretty good marriage, really good marriage. Could I mess it up tomorrow by running off with another woman? Every day, I got to do my best in my marriage. She's got to do her best in her marriage. These people that tell you, oh, just believe, you got baptized, you're going to heaven no matter what because Jesus covered all your sins. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says because God's in you, you will now strive. And any sin you commit, the Holy Spirit will convict you and you'll go, man, I let the Father down. Now, none of us are perfect. You go, I got to stop that. I got to stop lying or stop stealing or stop lusting or whatever. And the Holy Spirit gives you the power to keep changing your direction. That's the fruit you're born of God. If you see people that just live in sin, oh, I go to church, but I live in sin. It's okay. That's not the fruit you're born of God. If you knew I had a wife and you saw me kissing another woman, you'd go, that guy's a liar. Says he loves his wife and he's with another woman. You wouldn't call me a man of God. So that's the gospel, and I'm going to give you each a gospel card. Would you give me four gospel cards out here? I'm going to give you each a gospel card if you want them. That's the gospel by which you must come and you must follow to Christ and enter into the kingdom of God, okay? And it's not church attendance, not water baptism. The Pope can't save you. The Lutheran faith can't save you. In fact, they teach many false ways, and I'm ready to field. You've been listening very nice. I'm ready to field any of your questions that isn't a mockery question. If anybody asks a mockery question, I'm going to excuse you because I got better things to do. But if you're serious-minded, I do this when I street preach. I get a young man like you come up, and I go, he goes, I got a question. I go, are you a mocker? He goes, I don't think so. And I answer his question. He's not a mocker. Sometimes they come up and they start mocking and I go, I think I'm done. There's a gospel card. Check out the gospel. I don't entertain mockers. So that's the gospel that you will come to the kingdom of God through. And if you're of the world, you're going to be outside of the kingdom. Jesus is coming. Last thing, Matthew 7. Do you believe Jesus was God?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he a liar?
No.
He said in Matthew 7, few are going to find eternal life. If you look at the Greek word in that few, you know what that word means? Puny. A puny number of people. Look around you. Look around your church building. When you're in the Dells tomorrow, look around you. When I preach and thousands walk by me, I'm always reminded, a puny number of people are going to enter into eternal life per Jesus Christ. He's not a liar. The only ones that will enter into eternal life when they die is the ones that have traded this life here for the next life to come, and they lose their life, and you're going to lose friends. You might want to follow Christ, and they go, you're crazy, man. Come on, let's have fun. And you go, man, I got to follow Christ. They go, ah! They're going to drag you down. Bad company corrupts. So that's what it takes. And Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Do you understand? The broad is the road to destruction. Look at America. Look at the world. It's headed for death, more destruction. You know, the Bible predicts a great tribulation that's coming. Have you guys heard of this?
Yeah.
It's coming. The Antichrist system is being set up. They started doing it with COVID. It's like a pre-trial run. The vaccine's not the mark of the beast, but they're setting it up. They're coming for your generation, probably. I'll be dead and gone probably by the time it happens. But they're training you. Masks, vaccines, cards, boop. They're training you for this. It's coming. And my job is to travel and preach and tell young men, get ready. And if you don't repent and follow Christ now, maybe 30 years from now, when I'm dead in the grave, you'll go, remember that crazy street preacher we met? I've been reading the Bible, and what he said is true. I don't have any truth. I got God's word. So you've been very gracious. I've been able to preach to you. Any questions? That's not mockery.
What do you think about communion?
Communion?
Yeah, like actually like...
Like drinking, the bread and the wine?
Drinking the... like the or eating the body and
yeah.
Drinking the blood.
So the Catholics started this. It was bread and wine in the Bible. And Jesus even said in John 6, ready? He gives us. Do you know why Jesus said this? You got to understand the context of this. Jesus has got a bunch of people following him. And they were following him for miracles, signs, and wonders. These are the same people that said, crucify him, not long later. They were following him for the signs and the wonders. And Jesus knew this. And you know how Jesus got rid of the crowd? In John 6, he says to the Jews, and I'll give you a little bit of history that'll help this. He says to the Jews, you got to eat my blood and drink, eat my flesh and drink my blood to be my disciple. Do you know why that was crushing to the Jews? Because cannibalism. They were like, whoa, this guy's insane. We got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they all left him. He wanted to drive them off. They weren't well-meaning. They weren't his true disciples. And he turned to his disciples and they said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, where will we go? You hold the keys to eternal life. And at the end of John 6, Jesus said, those things I told you are spirit. So that is a spiritual lesson that he gave us. The bread and the wine does not literally turn into Jesus' body and blood. That's mysticism that came up through the Roman Catholics. They passed it on through Luther, another false teacher. It is symbol. It's a symbol. The bread is a symbol. The wine is a symbol. Like the manna that fell from heaven with the Israelites. Remember that story in the Old Testament? There was nothing mystical about that bread. It was just bread. But God sent it down for them to feed them and nourish them. So the answer is communion is just bread and wine, and you should never take communion. Any communion, if you're living in sin, if you know you're worldly, if you know that you truly aren't born again, and you're taking God not too serious, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, people die because God is killing them. God's going to kill you one day. Did you know that? You, and me. He's going to kill us one day, which that means is he's going to let us have our last breath. He controls life and death. He will kill us one day. And if you take the Lord's Supper in vain, you may die of cancer. That could be of God. You may die in a terrible car accident that wasn't even your fault. That could be of God. He judged you. In Acts 5, he killed a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife. What did he kill them for? Do you guys know? One lie. Read it. After Jesus rose again, grace. Yeah, you got to become eligible for grace. Did you know that? You know how you make yourself eligible for grace? Have you guys ever been in a court of law? None of you? That's good. So you've stayed out. I've been in a court of law. When you stand before a judge in a court of law and you got a crime and he looks at your record and he goes, young man, I see that you don't have any other crimes. And wow, this crime, you stole some food from Quick Trip. Yeah, I did, Your Honor. We got you on video. Yeah, I did it. Wow, I'm feeling kind of gracious today. What say you? You could go to jail for 2 years, young man. What say you? You know how you make yourself eligible for the grace of the God, the grace of the judge? What do you think you could do?
So huh?
Won't do it again.
Yeah, you could plead and say, Your Honor, please, I don't want to go to jail for 2 years. I've never done this before. Give me a chance, and I'll never be back in your courtroom again, and I promise I'm gonna do a lot better. And the judge goes, I see something in you. Probation, and if you don't come back in 6 months, I'll wipe it from your record. Right? See how you made yourself eligible for the grace of that judge? But what if you stood there and said, yeah, so what, judge? Everybody sins. Everybody steals. My friends steal all the time. I just got caught that day. I'm going to keep stealing even if you throw me in jail. If you let me go, I'm going to keep stealing. What do you think that judge is going to say to you then?
Send me to jail.
He's going to go, I think I'm going to give you a major sentence so that you can understand the law. So you see how you must become eligible for the grace of God. You don't show up and you don't demand the grace of God. You don't. You show up and you plead the blood of Jesus and say, I'll turn, I'll change, I'll repent, I'll seek the kingdom. And God goes, I see your heart. You're serious. He can see your heart. He knows if you're fooling him. I couldn't know. He knows. Jesus saw right into men's hearts. And he goes, I'm going to give you a pardon. Will you follow Christ with all that you are? And he'll wash you clean from all your past sins. And now you start following him. And then as you sin, you will. I do at times make mistakes. I choose it. My flesh leads me there. But I don't live in sin. I repent of it. I stop it. And I turn and go the other direction. And Christ's blood cleanses me. But if I walk around and just live in sin, yeah, man, I steal food all the time. You know, I punch guys in the face when I'm street preaching. They make me mad. Hey, we're all sinners. What would you think? Am I a man of God? Modern pastors do that all the time. They tell you guys you can sin all the time. You're going to keep sinning no matter what. You don't have to keep sinning. I brought my sin level from about a 10 down to a 1 or a 2, and not by my power, by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and cleansing my life, getting rid of my television, getting rid of my idolatrous hobbies, and setting myself for the kingdom of God. So communion is just bread and wine. Don't take it unless you really are committed to Christ and follow him in the word. It could be a death sentence for you. That's a man-made tradition. I have articles on that. That's a man-made tradition that it's somehow supernatural, has some kind of power for you. The Bible doesn't teach that. They got it from the Roman Catholics. Luther took it on. Luther, did you know Luther hated the Jews? You know how he said you should baptize a Jew? Tie a rock around his neck and throw him in the river. Adolf Hitler, it's true. It's on my website, and you can see it's all over the internet. Adolf Hitler used Martin Luther's writings to get the Germans mad at the Jews, and they killed, 6 million Jews over it. It's true. Martin Luther was a heretic. The only good thing Martin Luther did, God used him. He translated the Bible so that the common man could get the word of God. I think God used him to do that. Other than that, Martin Luther was a raging heretic. He brought Christmas and Easter. These are pagan holidays. You can't go to the Bible and find Christmas or Easter, right? You can't find that. So Yeah, I'll help you. I'd be happy to help you. Like, so wait. These guys have been really patient. I'll answer your question. Any other questions from you guys?
Where are you guys from?
What's that?
Where are you guys from?
Where we're from? We're originally from Wisconsin. Then we had a place in Missouri. We sold everything we own, and this is what we do. We live here. We support ourselves. We don't take anyone's money. I don't stand on the corner and hold a sign. I don't beg for people to give me money. I support myself, and we go out in the streets. We go to religious events. We go to religious buildings and stand on public property, and we peacefully hold gospel signs, and I preach. And they always call the police on me when I'm peaceful. And the police show up and go, "What's he doing?" He's standing there preaching. The cops said, "He's not breaking any laws. He's on public property." And I witnessed the gospel to the priest. Hey, I'll be here if you want to come back.
We'll be back. Sounds good.
All right. So that's my story to you guys. That's the biblical story about the gospel. You got to come out of false religion. You got to come out of the culture. And I would ask you this. You're young men, and you don't even have to answer this. I'd ask you to go ponder this. What are you living for? Just ponder that. What am I living for? I'm going to be 20 soon. I'll be 30 after that, then 40 slips along fast. What am I living for? Oh, man, I want to be rich. I want to be like Elon Musk, rich. Yeah, Elon Musk is going to die, and where's his billions going to go? To other people. Think he can take it with him? He's an atheist, or I know he's at least an antichrist. He's headed for hell unless he repents. No amount of pile of money is going to save him. And don't matter if you're a millionaire or a billionaire. I would ask you, what are you guys going to live your life for? And if you live it for the kingdom of God, it's eternal. It's incorruptible. That tree is corruptible. It's going to die. It'll be gone in 20 years when you come back, or you know, maybe 50 if it's a really good tree. But it's corruptible. It's going to leave. Everything in your life is corruptible except the truth of Christ and the Word of God. So that's why I travel. I retired early to do this. I go preach to call people to start thinking, what am I living for? What do I really want to live for? Do I want to live for what's eternal, or do I just want to live for something that's going to last about 60 years and I die and go to hell? And see, they won't tell you this stuff in religion. You know why? They want to keep you in the pew. They want the money coming in. They want you to get married and bring your kids there so they can get a bigger building. The pastor can make more money. 80% of the money in your church systems, do you know what it goes for? Buildings and salaries. Do you know what the money in the New Testament body went for? Preaching the gospel, widows and orphans. They didn't need buildings. They didn't need parking lots. They didn't need widescreen TVs. They didn't need youth programs and youth pastors. I just dealt with a youth pastor. There's no youth pastor in the Bible. Young men need to learn from who? Older men, godly men, so they grow up to be godly. Not stupid, silly, goofy, rubbing whipped cream on their face and throwing juju beads at each other. Yeah, that's what they do in youth clubs. They spray whipped cream on their feet and throw juju. You know this stuff. Yeah, and they dance around and youth pastors acting all silly. Oh, he's so cool. The Bible says we're to be sober-minded, right? Who's going to take me serious if I act like a comedian? You're going to go, hey, that guy's funny. I don't know if I can believe him for eternal truth, but Jesus wasn't a comedian. Paul wasn't a comedian. That's who we're supposed to imitate and model. So is that your only question about communion?
No, I have more. So you think to be like a true follower of God, you need to like read the Bible, like you just need to like read through the Bible.
You got to read the Bible. You got to study the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. So I asked you again when we started, how can you follow Jesus if you don't know the instruction manual? If you grow up to be a plumber or electrician or a mechanic and your boss goes, here's the manual, study it, you're going to have to follow it. If you tell him, you know, I haven't really studied it after a year, he goes, what? Yeah, I don't even keep any of these rules, boss, when you're not around. He's going to go, you got to be kidding me. You're fired. But everybody thinks that they can do that with God. That's my sensor light, you see, going on. Everybody thinks they can do that with God, that I just can do my own thing. The love of God, ready? This is amazing. The love of God. You know how the love of God is applied to you? Through Jesus. That's it. God doesn't love you individually on your own merit. Be thankful for that because you're going to hell and I am too on our own merit. He loves you because of what Christ did. So the love of God is displayed in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And God accesses that love to you when you repent and you're born again. Now God works through you by the Spirit and Christ lives through you. And you're a child of God and your death is your inheritance of eternal life. But you're not related to Bill Gates. So when he dies, are you going to get any of his money? No, how about Elon Musk? You know him, you're related to him, you're going to get any of his money? But if you die and you're not born of God, you think you're going to get any inheritance from God? You're not. You got to be born of God. That's how you get his inheritance, which is eternal life and glory with him. So the answer is yes. You have to know the Word of God. And if the Holy Spirit's in you, if you're born again, you desire the Word. That's what you live for. That's what Jesus did. He was quoting Scripture all the time against Satan, against the Pharaoh. We're just studying in Matthew 22. Is that Matthew 22, Brother Kevin?
Matthew 22.
Yeah, we're studying that right now. And he always quoted the Scriptures to the Pharisees. And so you got to know Scripture. Scripture will lead you out of the darkness of the world. It will. You know, this is awesome. The weather change. I was supposed to be way far away from here and go preach at an art fair somewhere. The weather change is going to be really rainy Saturday. And so I said, we're coming to the Dells Friday. And I might have come here just for you guys. Tomorrow, when I preach, everybody might ignore me. I might have one good conversation. I'm here preaching to four young men. I might have come just for you guys. And maybe 20, 30 years from now, seeds. You ever heard of the parable of the sower? The parable of sower where the seeds go out and they land on rocky ground and nothing comes of them and the birds steal it away. Nothing grows. Then they land on the into the weeds and they grow up with the weeds and they get choked out. And then there's seeds that land on fertile soil. So all of these seeds that go out can land. Your heart might be rocky and you'll never come. I don't know. You might be listening and go, man, that kind of stuck in me. I got to read the Bible more. And if you seek the word of God with a true intent, Father, show me the truth. Is this guy talking smack or is he serious? And when you, I don't have any truth. I have God's word. When you read the Bible, you'll find out what I'm telling you is exactly true. You must place your faith in Christ. You must be born again. You must repent. You must come out of all false ways. Jesus said in Mark 7, ready? If you worship me in man-made traditions, Christmas, Easter, Lutheranism, whatever other faith you guys are, name a denomination, I'll tell you why it's unbiblical. None of them are biblical. He said, you worship me in vain. So if Jesus is the truth, I have a question. Can you worship him in lies? That's what man-made religion does, lies. Sunday is the Lord's Day, not true. Christmas and Easter aren't true. Being like the world, dressing like the world is not true. When you come to Christ, he changes how you act, talk, dress, how you live. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You think Jesus dressed his temple in just anything? You think Paul did that? No, they honored God with how they dressed. And the Bible teaches that, and I got a lot of articles on that too. We won't go into that now. But that will change your life and transform your life and give you direction. If you let the world direct you, you're going to shipwreck. You're going to end up in hell. You'll perish. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. And see, I can tell you the truth. You know why? This is awesome. I don't want your money. I don't have a building to fill up somewhere. You guys will walk away and say, that guy's nuts. My hands are clean. I've told you the truth. Modern pastors, oh man, I don't want to tell him too much truth. He's going to get mad and leave. We want you to keep coming back. Come on, the youth group. Fun. Music. Bum, bum, bum. No, I'm going to tell you the truth because I care for your soul and I got to stand before God one day and he sent me out here to tell you guys the truth. And if I shortchange you on truth, do I really love you? If I knew a bridge was out and you were going over it and I didn't warn you, do I love you? No, right? So yeah, you do have to read the Word of God. You have to know it. You have to hide it in your heart. And if the Spirit's in you, you'll want it. Okay. That make sense?
Yeah. That's all I got.
Anything else? Anybody else got any questions?
I actually got one. How do you know if like someone's teaching you the truth or like
Yeah. So test every word I've said. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't have any truth. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, you had prophets. I'm not a prophet, but I do a prophet's job. And the prophets did this. They brought the truth of God. They were actually being given it to it. The God was actually talking to them. God doesn't talk to me. He talks through the word. I'm pointing to my phone because that's what I use as a Bible. I act as a prophet's job. I go out into the world. I proclaim the truth of God. I go to religious places that claim Christ and I call them out of it. How were the prophets tested for truth to the scriptures? Go read Acts 17. The Bereans tested Apostle Paul to make sure everything he was saying was according to scripture. So that's how he asked, do you have to know the word of God? That's your truth. That's the key. The word of God is the key to heaven because it's the truth and Christ is the truth. And you can tell if somebody's lying to you when it doesn't line up to the word of God. So you have my email. You can go study the word of God and you can come back to me and go, you're crazy. The Bible doesn't say that. Look it. And I'll answer. I'll listen to what you have to say. And you guys have a pastor that wants to come and get on a three-way phone call. Your pastors, I can tell you all this if you all are churchgoers. Your pastor's going to look at my website and he's instantly going to say this, ready? 99% of the time. Oh, it's a cult. He's a liar. He's a false teacher. And here's what I want you to say to your pastor. Well, pastor, you don't even know this guy. Yeah, I looked at his website. Well, how come he's a false teacher? And he might throw a few things at you. But you know what you should tell your pastor? Hey, this guy said he'll talk to you, pastor. Would you get on the phone and would you talk to him and tell him why he's unbiblical? Why listen in? I'm just going to listen. And he'd like to talk to you, pastor. Don't just gossip behind his back, pastor. Call him on the phone and tell him why he's a false teacher if you love him, because we're supposed to love people, right? You know how many false pastors will get on the phone and actually open the Bible with me? I think there's been two in my career so far out of thousands. Why do you think they hide in the dark?
So they don't get exposed.
The truth is not on their side because the truth, they'll lose their job, they'll lose their position, they'll lose their building, they'll lose their family. We lost just about everything to follow Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, you must lose your life to find him. You have to lose your life. If you're not willing to lose your life for Christ, do you really love him? He lost his life for you. If you're not willing to surrender your life, your friends, your popularity, maybe you want to be a college football player. And you go, man, that's kind of worldly, carnal, violent, covetous, prideful. Ah, I need to lose that for the Lord. That's proof that you love God. If you go, but I still want to be a football player because I see those guys kneeling in the end zone and praying. Give me a break. God does not want that kind of a life. He wants a holy life. You don't sprinkle godliness on top of sin and worldliness. Does that make sense? Could a woman be a stripper and dance on a pole and then pray afterwards and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me do this? That's ridiculous, isn't it? How about a thief? Could he be a thief and then pray and say, Lord, this is my talent. I crack safes. Football is the same way. God doesn't give you talents. Baseball, sports, that's all idle time. It's all carnal and of the flesh. The Bible says you must walk in the Spirit, Romans 8. So the answer to your question is study the Bible. Test everything I say on my website. Test everything your pastor says. And when you stand before God, you're going to be accountable. God's going to go, did you know about the Bible? Yeah, I did. Did you know it was my word? Did Jesus, the Son, when he came, tell you should live by the word? Yeah. Did you? No. How come? It wasn't popular. Oh, so you love people more than me. Hellfire. Next. But if he says, hey, you are my son. Wow, you lost much to follow me. You've been obeying me for decades. You came out of the world. These three guys said you're crazy, but you followed me no matter what. Come, enter in, son. Well done, good and faithful servant. You three, if you do that, he'll say, away from me, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity, that means sin. So you want to be that one that hears, well done, good and faithful servant. Study the word of God. Get a good Bible translation like a King James, and then look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. There's actually, you can email me, there's actually apps that'll show you the Greek and the Hebrew words, and it gives you extended meaning. Like, I love pizza, I love my wife, and I love God. Does that sound like three different kinds of love? It is. So you look at the Greek words and it kind of gives you more English words to help you round out what the truth is. Like that word, the word church is ekklesia. It means called out once. Have you been called out for Christ? If you're part of Sunday churchianity, you haven't been called out for Christ. What made you guys come over? Are you guys, I'm just going to ask you, are you guys truth seekers? You're standing here. It's not often I get four young men that are not mockers and haven't mocked to come over and talk about truth. Are you guys actual truth seekers, or did somebody just dare you to go talk to this guy?
No, we just wanted to see what.
We just set up.
Yeah, okay.
Pulled up the website quick.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's why we do it. We put it out there so people, we don't do it to make money. And I'm not popular on the internet. Most people don't want to hear my truth. So I'm always thankful when, whether it's old men, young men, middle-aged men that hear it. But I do have to say, this culture, the young culture, I'm astounded at what I'm seeing in the young culture. You guys are being very respectful. Man, I got 14-year-olds coming up to me. And they're like, they want to fight me. And then a lot of them are telling me they're gay. I'm like, yeah, I got 11-year-olds coming up telling me they're gay. And I'm like, you don't even know what sexuality is. Yeah, I'm gay. They got purple hair. Do you know this?
Yeah, we have it at our school.
This is unbelievable. Men don't know that they're men. Women don't know that they're women. And they're always goading me, baiting me. I got men making out in front of me. And they want me to start screaming at them, calling them homos. And I don't, because I love them. I just turn around and I preach the gospel. And then they come around and they ask, is homosexuality sin? And I always say, what does the Bible say? And they go, tell us. And I said, what does the Bible say? And I go, here's what I'll tell you. Lying, stealing, drunkenness, adultery, all sexual perversion is sin. We all need to repent of all of our sin. They want me to point out their sin because this culture is in a battle for truth. There's darkness and there's light. There's good and there's evil. The culture is going to lose. The world is going into the darkness. The tribulation's coming. They're going to take the world into control. The Antichrist is going to rise up. He's going to control the buy, selling, and trading. And if you don't go along with the system, you're going to jail. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. It's coming. Probably in your lifetime. Good chance. Mine, I'm not so sure we're going to get there that quick. I could be dead soon. I'm 60. But I like to be able to prepare you guys so you'll go, that guy talked about that stuff. Jesus said it was coming. Pestilence, disease, rumors of wars, and here's the key, Israel. Israel is a nation again. Happened in 1948. Watch Israel, watch Jerusalem. When everything's happening there, you know that Christ is on his way. The tribulation's coming. And it's all being set up. All these nations are being set up to come against Israel, Russia, China. It's all being set up. So God's word is so true. It's prophetic. It means it predicts the future. And if you study it, it'll give you great confidence to lose your life to follow Christ. You guys got anything else?
Nope.
Man, you guys have been...
I just want to ask one thing.
You guys really, I'll tell you what, you started my street preaching here off wonderfully because I love to preach young men truth that aren't mockers. Yes, sir.
Would you say, so playing any sport is a sin?
Playing any sport is a sin. It depends what you say play. If you get married and you have kids and you go in the backyard and you kick a soccer ball with them to have some exercise, that's not sinful. If you dress them up in little soccer uniforms and you teach them how to outrun Billy, and watch this, you can trip Billy and take him out and then go and score a goal, we can win! That's called covetousness. That's called competition against your neighbor. We're supposed to love our neighbor. So I would say competitive sports are sinful.
So,
and then I would say things that you do that are idle. In other words, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God, love the Lord thy God. We just read it, Brother Kevin and I. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, mind, and in Mark it says strength. Are you loving God while you're playing football? No. Are you loving God when you're a professional bass fisherman trying to win glory? No. That, so ask yourself that. Philippians 4, 8. Whatever's good, pure, true, worthy, noble. And is it building the kingdom of God? These football players, like I said, will try to add football to their faith. You can't add the world to your faith. You've got to cleanse yourself. So competitive sports, yes. They're all need to be thrown out. Some sporting activity. Go fishing with your son to teach him about nature. Wonderful. You know, throw a ball in your backyard. Nothing wrong with that. But now you're taking him to Little League. He's spending all his time. Now he wants to be competitive. They're keeping score. He's dressing in his little uniform. The girls are dressing in little uniforms. None of this is ordained of God. Remember, James 4:4, to be a friend of the world. Isn't sports the world? It's not of God. So if you're a friend of that, are you God's enemy or his friend? You're his enemy. So that would answer your question. You sound like you had one.
So I play golf, right?
I'm yeah.
Me, myself.
Right.
Is my sinner then?
Yeah, I would.
With yourself.
Huh?
Can you like compete with yourself?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would say, is that advancing? If you had one day to live, and you believe in God, would you spend it playing golf?
I'd have to,
if you're born of God and you know you're going to see God, I would hope you want to be about his word, his ways, maybe telling other people. The answer to that question is, what does golf do to build the kingdom? What are you doing with your time? What are your labors? Jesus, we're supposed to model Jesus and Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. You know what they did? They ate, they worked, they slept, they fellowshiped with true saints, not worldly churchgoers. They fellowshiped with true saints. They preached the gospel, and they restored themselves in the Father's creation. You'll never see Paul or Jesus going doing the Roman sporting games. You'll never see them doing idle time for the flesh. Because see, golf, that's fleshly. It's fleshly. Because it relaxes you, and I like that. And it's like, it's people do all these fleshly things when we're, the Bible says we're to live in the Spirit. And again, you can get away. You can take a long walk to relax. You throw a ball with your son. You know what I'm saying? I'm not prudish about that. But when it starts getting to something, good question. You play golf more than you study, obey, and preach the Word of God.
Probably. I played 18 holes this morning.
It's an idol to you then.
Yeah.
So an idol is anything you do more than loving God. Imagine if I told you that I go fishing 57 hours a week and I'm with my wife about 5. You'd say, wow, you love hunting and fishing more than you love your wife. Right? So what do you love more than the kingdom of God? That's really...
If you love God more than, like, your sports, then is that still, like...
That's idolatry. Idolatry is anything that comes before your God. Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything you are. That means you. Jesus died and shed his blood for you. You realize that? I know you know that.
Yes.
It says he bought you with a price. If you're bought, are you your own? Can you live any way you want? Can you do anything you want?
No.
You're his. You're breathing his air. You're walking on his earth. He owns you. You're supposed to live for him with all that you are. It's a wonderful trade-off. For young people, you might go, wow, that sounds so stifling. You live my whole life for the kingdom of God. Well, if the Spirit of God is in you, you'll go, wait a minute. I'm going to trade about 75 or 72 years. That's the average lifespan you're going to live. So you got like 50 years left. I'm going to trade that for eternity with the one who shed his blood and died for me and my creator. Or I can live it up for 50 years and, man, I can have everything I want. Then I die and go to hell for eternity. Which one sounds like the better deal? Lose your life now to have eternity. That's the answer to that. You want to lose your life and give all that up now. Having said that, I'm not saying if you ever hit a golf ball with a brother once in a while that it would be sinful. But I'd ask the question, do you want to preach the gospel? Do you want to live as a godly man? Or do you want to pursue the things of the world more? You see what I'm saying? Like, I'll go fishing with a brother, but it's not for just fun. We would go fishing to have fellowship and catch fish to cook for dinner. My wife would cook it. That's awesome. I used to be a fishing idolater. I just loved to fish. because it was what I loved. But now I love the kingdom of God, and I want to preach it. And we had a homestead down in central Missouri. We sold our last piece of property, and it was a beautiful place right by a lake. I could have sat there the rest of my life, retired, sat there in peace and comfort. But guess what? I can't meet you guys sitting on my porch. I come out in the world. Look at, I get to meet you, and I get to affect you. And last thing I'll teach you real quick. This meeting is going to have one or two things. One or two things is going to happen. Ready? I love to teach this. God's going to be glorified, and you will be glorified with the Father. If you repent and follow him and are born again and come out of the world and come out of churchianity, you'll be glorified with the Father. Or one day you're going to be condemned before the Father. One or two choices. God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom, born again, not born again. One or two things is going to happen. And I rest well, even though I love you as my neighbor. You guys are young enough to be my grandchildren. I rest well. You know why? Because I've given you the truth. And now I say, God, they're yours. And let that truth, let the Holy Spirit convict them. Let the Holy Spirit work in them and guide them. And plus, my website's there. My phone number's there. You can email me anytime. You got follow-up questions. If you guys want a Bible study, I'm happy to Bible study with you. I want nothing from you. I don't want your money. I don't want you to come follow me. I want you to get in the Word of God and follow Christ with all that you are, not religion. And not your own way. It's the only way to make it to the kingdom of God. This life is fleeting. I remember when I was 20, that was 40 years ago. It goes by like that. As soon as you hit 30, which seems a long way for you guys, but as soon as you hit 30, then it's like 35 comes. My son is 35, and he's like, Dad, I can't believe I'm going to be 40 soon. He was your age not long ago, and I'm telling him life's coming. He's like, yeah, whatever. Now he's got kids. He's got a career. Choose what you do with your life. God gave you breath. He gave you life. He gave you talents and abilities. What are you going to do with it? You're going to do it, build up the world? You're going to build up a big bank account? Yeah, you got to work to make money. But don't let your job consume you. That's what I've been teaching my brother Kevin. Don't let your job consume you. If you want to follow Christ, find the ministry that God wants you to do and have the job support your ministry. Everyone does this. They find the career they want and somehow they try to fit God in. Don't do that. What do I want to do for ministry? Then have a career or a job that supports that. Doesn't that make sense? Otherwise, you'll be swept away by a career. Usually, your career has to go by the wayside to serve the kingdom of God. Everything for the kingdom of God first. We lost our careers. We lost everything. We lost family. They think we're crazy. But nobody can open the Bible and show me where I'm wrong. Because I got the Word of God. I'm standing on it. If any of your pastors can call me, I'd love that phone call. Pastor, let's get a three-way with this guy on the phone. He loves to talk to you. Tell him why he's wrong, Pastor. Don't just slander him. Why is he wrong, Pastor? He'll give an answer. They won't do it. Jesus said in John 3, 19 through 21, the light has come. He's the light. Men love their sin and darkness, and they stay in the darkness. Why do you think they do that? Because the light reproves them, it says, convicts them. When police show up, none of you guys have been criminals, but when police show up, what do criminals do? They run. They don't stand there and go, okay, shine the light on me, I'm here. They run for the darkness like the cockroaches do. I used to do a carpet business with my brother, and he'd turn a light on these apartments, and there'd be 100 cockroaches. You flick the light on, and in about 10 seconds, they're all gone. Didn't even know they were there. Criminals run from the police. Modern pastors run from the truth of God's word. They did it to Jesus. They do it to his workers today. So know the Word of God. Spend your time living for the kingdom of God. It's your only hope. Sound good? You guys have been gracious, man. I love meeting you. I love you. You're my neighbor. I love you. I'd love any way I can help you. What's that? James. James, and that's my wife, Debbie. All right. Anytime I can help you, I am available to help you. This is what I retired. This is what I live to do.
Good luck in the Dells tomorrow. Yep.
Can I ask, where are you guys from?
We're here in the Dells.
Oh, you're here in the Dells, so you know all about the Dells. Dells is one of my favorite places. I used to live in Reedsburg, and then we used to live in New Lisbon. Dells is one of my favorite places to preach because I get to meet locals, and then I get people from all over the world. So it's one of my favorite places to come, and I love to preach here, but you guys set me off starting really good.
All right, good luck.
No, I can help you.
Downhill from there.
No. God be praised.